Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and online at WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. Since forming in 2002, the New York trio, known as the King of France, has built a reputation the old-fashioned way by performing catchy, intelligent, and highly melodic pop songs. The band's love of craft is the product of influences such as Talking Heads, The Beatles, and maybe a little country western Hawaiian 1930s swing thing in the background. The band consists of guitarist and Minneapolis transplant Steve Salad, keyboardist Matt Durant, and drummer Michael Azarad, who is also known as a music critic and author of Our Band Could Be Your Life, a classic book on 80s indie rock. Tonight, King of France plays at the Bowery Ballroom, and they join us here today in our studio. And Steve and Michael, welcome to the microphones and welcome to Soundcheck.
Glad to be here.
Steve, now you are, as I said, from Minneapolis. You fronted this band called the called DeFormo.
Right.
This is the city that gave us Husker Du and the Replacements, so there's clearly been some kind of history of an indie rock scene in Minneapolis. Are you kind of continuing that lineage here in New York now?
Well, I think Brooklyn is now one of the centers of indie rock for the U.S. right now.
Brooklyn is the new Minneapolis? Is that what you're telling me?
yeah. No, I don't know.
Okay.
But there's a great scene here now.
Mm-hmm. So who died and made you King of France?
Oh, that's a good question.
really?
I think that's one of those things you just have to take.
Okay. So it just seemed like a good name at the time.
Well, the King of France is, you have to be deluded to be in a rock band sometimes. You either have to really like moving musical equipment or really love the music. So, the King of France is about our delusion to be rock stars or great musicians.
Now, Michael, a lot of the players on the indie rock scene, in Williamsburg and Brooklyn, they're young, the kids right out of college, and you guys are maybe a step away from that, you're editor-in-chief of eMusic.com, right? I mean, you've been around for, a couple of years.
I'm a certifiable adult, in physical years, but my emotional IQ is really quite low.
So okay.
I'm quite fit to be a musician.
He's a child, trust me.
Yeah.
All right. Now, on your website, you guys mention a bunch of influences, early Talking Heads, middle period Velvet Underground, late period Beatles. But then you go on to say, and I quote here, "The whole idea was to make music that would make you want to spin around with arms outspread, Von Trapp style."
Well, isn't that the whole idea of music in general, to transport you and have you transcend, your worldly cares and get into this kind of other zone?
I mean, to find your inner Julie Andrews?
Aren't we all seeking that? I think so. But we are the sound of music after all, so it's only fitting that we induce that feeling. But when we play, we certainly kind of get out of ourselves, and we hope we inspire even like a tenth of that feeling for people who are actually listening or watching.
So Velvet Underground and the Von Trapp family singers, for you guys, it's all part of a single continuum or something.
It's all music, man.
All right. Now, it's all music, but all of those bands had bass players. You guys do not, although I understand, Steve, that actually you'll have a bass player with you tonight.
Yeah, well, we just started playing with a bass player, but for a long time we were a trio. Actually, we started as a duo, just guitar and drums. And each time you add a new instrument, you add a limitation, but also the ability to do so much more. When you're just a duo or a trio, you can do anything you want.
Really?
You can
The idea of adding an instrument being a limitation is a sort of unusual one. What do you mean by that?
Well, you have to follow more rules. I think when you are a trio, you can, and we did, we would just follow our whatever direction we were going in, and we wouldn't have to ground it in anything. I think it sounds better now with a bass, but you can put this better.
When we started, we were just a duo.
Let the adult talk.
Yes, young Steve. Let me explain it. When we started, we were a duo, and we did something called improv pop, and that's something you could only do with a guitar and drums, where Steve could turn on a dime, and I could turn right with him, because it wasn't like I was trying to figure out, well, what's the next chord? I could just keep the rhythm going, and that was an incredibly, you know, mobile little unit. Right. And then we just decided to, well, that we should add keyboards, and that narrowed it down a little bit. But we've been so blessed with some incredibly gifted keyboardists who can actually keep up with the changes, and it works out fantastically well.
All right, now a bass player finally joining the fray. When the King of France plays tonight at 9 o'clock, opening for Soul Asylum at the Bowery Ballroom. Steve, tell us a little bit about this first song that you and Matt, the keyboard player, are going to do as a kind of unplugged thing for us, although you're both actually plugged.
Right. The first song is called Mexico, and it's the first song on our record as well. That actually started out as an improv pop song when we first started to bang it out, and the idea was to put together three separate songs and try to mash them all into one song.
Mm-hmm.
And
like the Beatles, A Day in the Life.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. And well, yeah, no, that's great.
All right, let's hear how it turns out with just two of the members of the King of France performing. Matt Durant playing the keyboard. And Steve Salad's going to pick up the electric guitar. Here is a song called Mexico, which also exists on the album, also called The King of France. And they're performing for us live on Soundcheck here at 93.9 WNYC and online at WNYC.org.
Mexico and I'm never coming back. Bungalows and sweet colognes and the lights of a fair. If I ever get, if I ever get. Is a girl, she is cheap and easy, dark-footed looks for the world that's sleeping, and I better not rest for the line and make the wrong one, and did I try to please your love and make the same mistake again? I take the wrong way again. I'm gonna take the easy way and I'm never laying out. Bullies and the sweet police and the Mexico gal. If I have a doubt. If I have a doubt, if I have a doubt. Along for the ride is a girl, she is cheap and easy. Dark-footed looks for the world that's sleeping. And God, I better not rest for the light.
try to please your love and make the same mistake again. I take the wrong way again. If I have a doubt, if I have a doubt, if I have a doubt, if I have a doubt.
The song is called Mexico, and it is on the new album, The King of France, by the band called The King of France, and we've just heard about half of the group playing live in our studio, Matt Durant at the keyboard, Steve Salad singing, playing the electric guitar. We also have their drummer, Michael Azarad, with us in the studio. Michael, the new album came out last month, but some of the songs were already on the internet prior to that.
That's right.
No big surprise these days. Your website, but also on iTunes, where I understand Ed Norton put together, you know, one of his big celebrity playlist things, and like most of your record was on that.
It was a good way of kind of like seeding the clouds, I guess. You know, it got some advance buzz going, and definitely we sold a bunch of downloads and things like that. And Edward has been incredibly supportive of us. He's a huge fan and a great guy besides. So it's a pleasure.
Steve, how much has the internet affected what you guys do? I mean, are you finding, you know, your music on, you know, illegal file sharing sites? It seems like it's been a good thing, at least in one sense.
Oh, I think it's definitely been a good thing. I think everything's changing now. 10, 15 years ago, the zines were really important, and now music blogs are more important. And the great thing about blogs is that anybody can go see them. And it's a great way to promote your music, but it's also a great way for people to find each other and develop taste together.
Mm-hmm. So you're not concerned about, you know, MP3s of King of France material floating around out there. It's all good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely not worried about it.
Okay. We're speaking with both Steve Salad and Michael Azarad from the band The King of France. We'll continue our conversation. We'll hear another live performance as well. Also still to come, Toshi Regan will be performing, singing, and playing the guitar for us in the second half of the program. This is Soundcheck.
What's your name? Are we looking for the same way out? I'm enraged, and I'm crossed by my crazy doubt. Don't you want to know, the best is yet to come. Tonight I'm gonna throw myself at anyone. Who cares?
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The members of the Brooklyn-based indie band The King of France are here with us in the studio. They're opening tonight for Soul Asylum at the Bowery Ballroom beginning at 9 o'clock. Steve Salad, the song you and Matt just performed a minute ago called Mexico, that's the lead-off track on the new CD, also called The King of France, seemed to be, you know, not in the tradition of the confessional first-person kind of thing, but more of a character study, you know, a story, basically.
No, I think that's true.
And is that kind of the way you guys work, you know, on the other 11 songs?
I think we approach each song separately and differently. I wouldn't say that we have one specific approach to any song.
Mm-hmm. If you listen, I mean, one of the greatest things I think about our band, the one that I enjoy the most actually, is that you can never pin down exactly where we're coming from in general.
Well, which is why when I was introducing you guys, we had heard that piece White Confection, and I mean, I really just don't know what to call it. I mean, it does have this kind of 1930s kind of, you know, when Hawaiian music was the big exotic trend in American pop. It seems to harken back to that somehow.
Yet, although I think that song was just kind of pulled out of thin air. I don't think anyone was trying to cop anything. It's funny. I don't really know where a lot of our sounds come from. It's just we kind of just pull things out of the air. And it's not like we're a blues band or a pop rock band. It's just it's pretty variegated.
Yeah.
I think one thing that brought our band together or keeps our band together is our love of music. And Michael has a vast musical knowledge. And we played with a lot of other kind of very knowledgeable. Yes, exactly. and so it kind of our songs do come from this improv pop idea where we're just kind of grab ideas and they can come from anywhere. And since we love so many different kinds of music, everything's fair game.
Right. Well, Steve, as you say, Michael knows a lot about music, and he is not loath to share his knowledge of music. Michael, you've written several books, the most recent being Our Band Could Be Your Life, Scenes from the American Indie Underground, 1981 to 1991, which chronicles bands like Husker Du and Black Flag all through the 80s. What was going on here in this country and specifically in the music world at that time that made it such a fertile ground for bands like this?
Well, there's a lot of pretty bland corporate rock and a lot of co-opted punk rock, which later got rebranded as New Wave.
Right.
And I think a lot of the kind of more progressive type people were kind of fed up with that and wanted something that they could actually relate to. And the credo of that whole scene was do it yourself, DIY.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just took it upon themselves to make the music that they wanted to hear. And it didn't, and sometimes they were really good musicians and sometimes they weren't. But the fact is that they made this music and then they constructed this whole infrastructure around it so it could be distributed and heard. And there are record stores and fanzines and radio stations and everything.
Right, and it wasn't just the band members who were doing that. The audiences were getting involved. They were as much a part of that construct as the bands themselves.
Yeah, and that was right in line with punk's original kind of participatory, audience equals band philosophy. And yeah, everyone got into the act. Everyone did a fanzine or made cassette mixes that they sent out to friends or, all kinds of things. It was just this whole kind of shadow infrastructure that exactly mimicked the major labels, but on a much smaller scale.
Right, and which is now, again, it seems, being mimicked on the internet.
Yeah, as Steve pointed out, what was once a Xeroxed fanzine in 1982 is now the music blog in 2005.
Right. So were you a musician at that time? I mean, were you part of the scene that you were chronicling? Were you drumming with any of this type of band at that time?
I was going to a lot of shows and writing about some of the musicians, a lot of the musicians at that time. I had dabbled in drumming on and off, but I really kind of started in earnest when I saw Steve play it at an open mic and demanded that I play in a band with him, even though I was kind of shaky on the instrument at the time. And I'd kind of whipped myself into shape so I could earn the right to play these great songs.
Uh-huh. So now having, been on this scene and, chronicling it in the book, how do you apply that to this band, to the King of France?
Well, the way I really apply it is enjoying the infrastructure that's been set up for so long. We just went on a 2-week tour opening for a great band called Robbers on High Street, and we had it pretty easy. We stayed at motels, which is more than a lot of bands in Our Band Could Be Your Life could say. They were sleeping on, really ratty kind of punk rock crash pads and things like
right,
that because
right.
they couldn't afford to stay at a Super 8. So we were actually, actually had places to stay. There were clubs that had sound checks and, decent, publicity and kinds of things like that. And there were, radio and press who were trumpeting our arrival before we got there. And there was all kinds of stuff that was set up. And basically, I was just enjoying how good we had it compared to these pioneers who had to walk 20 miles in the snow to every gig.
Not that Black Flag or Dinosaur Jr. literally had to do that, but you write in the book that, some of these bands, Sonic Youth, Minor Threat, The Replacements, that they kind of languished in the musical minor leagues for a number of reasons. Some because they were too experimental, some because they made unfortunate career decisions.
Yeah. Some of them, were just, you know, not fit for prime time. And a lot of them either, you know, did drugs and short-circuited themselves. Some of them played too loud and got tinnitus and couldn't continue playing. There are all kinds of things that happened that really short-circuited them. But, you know, it's the whole point of it was not to become huge, big rock stars. The whole point was to make good music and be a part of a thriving community. And that was a radical idea in itself.
Well, now, the book ends in 1991, which was the year that Nirvana came along and made indie rock something that could explode upon the mainstream American consciousness in a big way.
Yeah, all those kind of things kind of run their course, and eventually the mainstream will co-opt any interesting underground trend, and that's what happened in a major way in September of 91.
So indie rock became alternative rock, which very, very quickly became a mainstream form and became sort of a contradiction in terms.
Although there still is a thriving indie rock scene right now. Very, very interesting music being made all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now, of course, those bands like Arcade Fire are gradually becoming household names.
Right, right. And King of France soon to follow, no doubt.
Surely.
Absolutely.
Michael Lazarad, Steve Salad, and keyboard player Matt Durant with us here in our studio. Steve, tell us about this song called Moon that you guys are doing next.
I guess this is... it's interesting because I realize that both songs that we're playing today in the studio have some destination. The first song was Mexico, and it's about going to Mexico. This is about going to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
It was written as part of seeing a friend kind of go through some changes and kind of tried to expand that out into something very obvious.
Now, when you do this tonight, it'll be with bass and drums, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, but for the moment, just Steve singing and playing the electric guitar, and Matt on the keyboards once again. They are half of the King of France, as the band will be constituted tonight when they open for Soul Asylum at the Bowery Ballroom. And they're the half that's playing live for us here in our WNYC studio this afternoon on Soundcheck.
Your mind.
ha, ha, ha. No, nobody knew. Ha, 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 ha. They stopped and stared. Ah, ha, 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 for you to lose. Buy another one way to the moon.
The song's called Moon, and it's from The King of France, Brooklyn-based band, featuring Steve Salad on vocals and guitar, Matt Durant playing keyboards and contributing a bit of vocals. Tonight, they'll be joined by drummer Michael Azarad, who's also here. And Michael, who's the bass player?
The bass player is a guy named Don Piper, a very talented musician in his own right. He's got a great band called A Don Piper Situation. You should check out.
Steve, I'm going to assume you've read Michael's book, but if not, just fake it. the book, Our Band Could Be Your Life, chronicles, you know, the hits and misses of the indie rock scene in the 80s. Is this a kind of a cautionary tale or a blueprint for King of France?
I think it's an inspiration. I think there's definitely some cautionary tales in there, but those people were very committed and to the music and to creating the scene.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the scene is being the scene has never gone away, Michael, as you said before, and some of those bands have made comebacks, and it's a scene that continues to thrive in Brooklyn and elsewhere. But Brooklyn is home to the King of France, and they are performing tonight at the Bowery Ballroom tonight at 9, opening for Soul Asylum. Details are online at BoweryBallroom.com. Guys, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, John.
Have fun tonight. This is Soundcheck.
When the lights come down, hear the music play. Oh, you're one of us now. Don't you know there's no escape? Oh, it's just a body, 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 oh, just a body, 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 oh.
A little bit of music from the new album by the King of France, and if you'd like to comment on anything you hear on Soundcheck, we're always happy to hear from you. You can email us, soundcheck@wnyc.org.